This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hello again, listeners. I'm Rich Gomez, and this is the Morning Brew for the week ending Saturday, March 23rd, 2024. Well, March Madness is here, but the real madness is believing you have a chance of filling out a perfect bracket. The odds of that are 1 in 9.2 quintillion. If you were to pick each of the games via coin flip. But if you know something about basketball, they improve to a mere 1 in 120.2 billion. Knowing your bracket is doomed to fail, why not bet on the power of spite? Although he was fired last Monday, Long Beach State head coach Dan Munson led his team to a conference title and punched a ticket to the men's tournament. Munson will coach Long Beach State through the end of the season, and he'll be using timeouts liberally so he can focus on scrolling through LinkedIn. We start this week's broadcast with a summary of financial market performance year-to-date. The NASDAQ is at 15,973, up 8.2% on the year. The S&P index is at 5,117, up 7.9% on the year. The Dow Jones Industrials are at 38,715. That's up 2.6% on the year. While 10-year Treasury bonds are trading at 4.304%. That's up 35.8 basis points on the year. Bitcoin is trading at $68,200.10 a coin. That's up over 61% on the year. And Southwest Airlines stock is at $28.35. That's down 0.5% on the year. The three major indexes closed lower last week after several hotter-than-expected inflation reports lowered hype levels for Fed rate cuts. Airlines like Southwest, down 18% just last week, are also struggling. Yes, Boeing's safety problems are forcing them to cut back on routes, but they're also facing other challenges, like reduced leisure demand and higher fuel costs. Next, we turn our attention to news about food, and the chocolate crisis is here. The global chocolate industry is facing its worst crisis since Johnny Depp played Willy Wonka. Demand for chocolate is vastly outweighing the available cocoa supply, leading to skyrocketing cocoa prices that will inevitably make chocolate treats more expensive in supermarkets around the world. The price chart for cocoa is something your algebra teacher would use to describe the term exponential. On Friday, benchmark cocoa futures surged to a record $8,018 per metric ton, a 25% increase last week alone, and 215% higher than last year. The price spike has caused large African cocoa processors, which take raw cocoa and turn it into something usable for chocolate companies, to slash productions since they can no longer afford to buy beans. So why are cocoa prices so high? Well, the first thing you need to know about cocoa trees is that they only flourish in a narrow band around the equator, which is why four West African countries, the Ivory Coast, Ghana, Cameroon, and Nigeria, produce almost 75% of the globe's cocoa supply. This, according to Bloomberg Opinion's commodity expert Javier Blas. Ivory Coast alone produces nearly half the world's cocoa. Due to bad weather, bean disease, and a lack of investment in new trees stretching back decades, recent cocoa harvests have been dreadful, resulting in a yawning gap between supply and demand. The cocoa market will be short 374,000 tons this season, up from a shortfall of 74,000 tons last season. And of course, supply is only one side of the price equation. As chocolate is transitioned from a luxury item to one you can easily pick up before catching a movie, global demand has doubled in the last three decades. Does this mean chocolate could get more expensive? Actually, it already has. Prices for chocolate products at U.S. retail stores grew 11.6% in 2023 compared to the previous year, this according to market research firm Circana. And going forward, confection companies Hershey and Cadbury maker Mondelez warned they'll have no choice but to pass on higher cocoa costs to consumers. Next, we turn our attention to headlines from around the world. Vladimir Putin has extended his reign as Russia's president. The man who was allowed to score 8 goals in a hockey game found even less resistance in his country's election, which the White House called obviously not free or fair. 3 days of voting and no oversight at the polls or any meaningful opposition ended with Putin winning 6 more years as Russia's leader, a position he has held as prime minister or president since 1999. There was pushback from citizens on Sunday. Thousands of supporters of late opposition leader Alexei Navalny, who died in an Arctic prison last month, made their voices heard at a noon protest at polling centers. Still, with his landslide victory, Putin could soon overtake Stalin as Russia's longest-serving leader in more than 200 years. And Netanyahu calls Schumer's comments inappropriate. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu shot back at scathing criticism from Senate Majority Chuck Schumer last week, saying Israel is not a banana republic and countries should not meddle in the electoral affairs of other democracies. Schumer called on Israel to hold new elections. Meanwhile, the first shipment of aid to Gaza by sea in almost 20 years, about 200 tons of food, arrived last Saturday, organized by Chef Jose Andres Central Kitchen Charity. And the fraud trial of Britain's Bill Gates began last week. In what prosecutors have called the largest fraud in the history of Silicon Valley, UK tech mogul Mike Lynch faces 16 counts of criminal conspiracy and fraud, stemming from the $11 billion sale of his software company, Autonomy, to Hewlett-Packard in 2011. HP accused Autonomy of, quote, serious accounting improprieties, unquote, in November of 2012, when HP announced an $8.8 billion write-down of its value. A 2022 civil case in London found Lynch liable for defrauding HP. In May of 2023, he was extradited to stand trial in the United States. Next, we turn our attention to news about defense, where Elon Musk is being enlisted to protect the United States. SpaceX CEO and terminally online meme lord Elon Musk is becoming an increasingly vital figure in the U.S. defense system. The company that's been in the news lately for its moon-bound mega rocket was awarded a $1.8 billion contract in 2021 to build a spy network of hundreds of Starshield satellites for the National Reconnaissance Office. The low Earth orbit satellites would support ground forces and enhance the ability of the U.S. to locate targets globally. The SpaceX partnership reflects the U.S.'s urgent efforts to win the latest iteration of the space race. China announced plans earlier this month to create its own constellation of low orbit satellites to compete with Starlink. While U.S. intelligence officials warned in February that Russia is developing a nuclear space weapon capable of destroying satellites. Musk's satellites have been a geopolitical football. Ukraine has claimed that Russia is using thousands of Musk's Starlink satellite terminals to gain a tactical advantage during its invasion, starting a squabble with the Biden administration. Starlink, however, is a separate entity from Starshield, which is designed for military or government use. Next, we dig into the Morning Brew's grab bag of fun facts to know and share. First, a statistic. Did you know that Britain has more than six times as many giant sequoia trees as California? Well, no one did until last week when researchers published the first ever study into the UK's redwood population and found they were thriving. Because they're much younger, the British redwoods are not as tall as their American counterparts and are way more defensive about Kate Middleton conspiracy theories, but they could catch up in height given the redwoods can live for over 3,000 years. How these trees get to the UK in the first place? They were brought over from their native California by 19th century Victorians who viewed the giant trees as status symbols. And here's a quote. I'm running out of money. Dune superfan Mac has seen Dune Part 2 in theaters 18 times as of Saturday. It says he's taking a financial hit from his obsession. Mac, who's been chronicling the cinematic journey on X, told Inverse following his 14th viewing that he became addicted to Dune after reading the book in 2018 and saw the first film 20 times in theaters and more than 200 times on streaming. Mac is clearly not alone in his love for the movie. Dune Part 2 is nearing $500 million at the global box office and is currently the highest grossing film of the year. Next, we turn our attention to news about artificial intelligence, where Apple may bring Google's Gemini to its products. These days, Apple and Google probably have similar dating app profiles. Big tech leader lacking confidence in AI capabilities seeks same, and it looks like they may have found their match. Last week, Bloomberg reported that Apple is in talks to license Google's Gemini AI for iPhones and other Apple devices with the forthcoming iOS 18. This may have OpenAI CEO Sam Altman sweating, but for Apple and Google, it could be the answer to their generative AI troubles. Alphabet shares rose over 7% following the news, and Apple's rose more than 2%, though both gave up some of those gains before the market closed. It's not their first time teaming up. Google reportedly pays $18 billion to Apple every year to be the default search engine on its devices. A deal involving Gemini could help both companies overcome OpenAI's seemingly big head start in the AI race. So what's in it for Apple? It could help shift investors' perception that the company is an AI laggard. Tim Cook said last month that the company is, quote, investing significantly, unquote, in AI, but Apple's products are inferior to the leading models, according to Bloomberg. Apple could still use its own AI for on-device tasks and use Gemini for more complex features in the cloud, like text-to-image generation. But what about Google? This deal could be for Gemini what the Ed Sullivan Show was for the Beatles. It would be the AI model's highest-profile partnership and its best chance at getting ahead of the white-hot competition. If the deal happens, Gemini could be on more than 2 billion iPhones around the world. Another plus would be some reputation rehab. Gemini briefly shut down last month due to controversy over the model generating historically inaccurate images. But what could get in the way? Well, as regulators clamp down on big tech, there could be pushback to Google and Apple getting even cozier. Their search engine deal is already the subject of a Department of Justice lawsuit. But Apple has also considered using OpenAI's model, and any deal probably won't be announced until Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference in June. Next, we look at headlines from around the world. NVIDIA showed off its next-generation chip. Jensen Huang, the CEO of the AI explosion's big winner so far, NVIDIA, revealed its latest tech to keep the good times rolling at its developer event last week, dubbed the Woodstock of AI by analysts. Speaking in a packed arena, Huang showed off Blackwell, NVIDIA's new, more powerful graphics processor chip design, which the company says is significantly faster than the chips that support most of the AI out there now. The old design, which propelled NVIDIA to its spot as the world's third most valuable company, was good, Jensen told the crowd, but we need bigger GPUs. And the Supreme Court probably won't limit government contact with social media companies. During oral arguments last week, the justices seemed skeptical of claims made by Republican-led states that the federal government had acted improperly and sought to censor conservative viewpoints when trying to get social media companies to remove misinformation and harmful posts from their platforms. The case could see the Supreme Court draw a new line between what is considered acceptable persuasion versus unlawful coercion. It's one of several cases this term that asks the court to grapple with how free speech works on the Internet. And former President Trump can't find an insurer to back his $464 million appeal bond. Attorneys for the former president told a court last week that no one is willing to underwrite a bond to cover the $464 million verdict against him in New York civil fraud suit. It's the case accusing him of inflating the value of his assets while he appeals it. He's talked to 30 companies, but they want Trump to use cash rather than properties as collateral, the former president's lawyer said. They're asking the court to delay the judgment until the appeal is over or accept a smaller bond of $100 million. Otherwise, the New York Attorney General's office could try to collect by seizing assets. And if that wasn't entertaining enough, we turn our attention now to news about the entertainment industry, where Mr. Beast is taking his knack for virality to Prime Video. Amazon's streaming service has been struggling to make content that gets noticed, but it's hoping to turn things around by bringing on YouTube's most followed creator, Mr. Beast, the 25-year-old stunt philanthropist behind viral videos like Survive 100 Days Trapped, Win $500,000, and 1,000 Blind People See for the First Time. Mr. Beast, a.k.a. Jimmy Donaldson, just inked a deal with Amazon MGM Studios to host and executive produce Beast Games for Prime Video. Considering Donaldson hosted a real-life Squid Game contest in 2021 that got 588 million YouTube views, he's qualified for the job. There's no release date yet, but Beast Games will pit 1,000 people against each other for a $5 million grand prize, the largest, quote, in the history of television and streaming, unquote, according to Amazon. And this is going mainstream. Donaldson said one of his goals is to prove YouTubers and creators can succeed on other platforms. While it can be tough for influencers to pivot to Hollywood, Donaldson is better positioned than most. The MrBeast empire, which includes monetized videos and branded merchandise and snacks, grossed $82 million from June of 2022 to June of 2023, more than double that of any other digital creator, according to Forbes. The executive chairman of Morning Brew invested in his snack line. Plus, he already has 245 million subscribed fans. And Amazon is counting on it. The company has spent billions of dollars in recent years on original content that's consistently failed to crack most watched lists. Next, we turn our attention to news about the real estate market, where Austin's housing market takes a chill pill. Houston, we have dissent. Austin's housing prices are finally coming down to earth after a meteoric rise during the pandemic. Buying and renting a dwelling in the ever-weird Texas boomtown has become less expensive, according to the Wall Street Journal. A couple of years ago, Austin's economic dynamism and allure to West Coast transplants made its residential real estate sizzle amid historically low interest rates. From late 2019 to mid-2022, home prices shot up 66%. But now, it's as if someone blasted the AC. Rents fell 7% over the last year, the biggest drop of any U.S. city, according to Apartment List, and home prices have fallen over 11% since 2022, more than any other metro in the country, according to the Freddie Mac House Price Index. So why the cool down? Austin's home building boom is helping to avoid the severe supply crunch seen nationwide. It's expected to add more new apartments as a proportion of existing units this year than any other city. Plus, after decades of rapid population growth, more people are looking to move out of Austin than in, per Redfin data from last fall. And good deals are uneven. Austin's rents are declining faster for shiny luxury apartments than they are for more affordable housing options, according to the Wall Street Journal. Next, we reach back into the Morning Brew's grab bag of fun facts to know and share, starting with a quote. If you use too much ketamine, you can't really get work done, so I have a lot of work. Those are the words of Elon Musk. Don Lemon released the uncomfortable interview with Elon Musk that caused the mercurial billionaire to cancel X's partnership with the show, and Musk's use of ketamine was just one of the touchy topics discussed. Musk insisted he only took the drug as prescribed to treat low moods, was nearly always sober when making late-night social media posts, and that given Tesla's success, from an investor standpoint, if there's something I'm taking, I should keep taking it. You can watch the whole thing online. Meanwhile, in other headlines from around the world, Unilever is freezing out its ice cream business. The owner of Ben & Jerry's announced last week that it's spinning off its ice cream division, which also includes Breyers, Klondike, Popsicle, and more, and cutting 7,500 jobs in an effort to cut costs and refocus the company around consumer products. The move will save Unilever about $870 million over the next 3 years. The company has been in the ice cream business for over a century and owns 5 of the 10 best-selling global brands. But in recent years, it has butted cones with Ben & Jerry's, which sued its parent company after Unilever sold its Israeli business. And Japan has hiked interest rates for the first time in 17 years. The Bank of Japan raised short-term rates to 0% as the country's economy finally shows some signs of growth after years of low inflation and wage growth. The move means there are no longer any negative interest rates in the world after several European central banks ended their policies in 2022. Bank of Japan Governor Kazuo Ueda said that the negative interest rates and other measures the country took to boost its economy have, quote, fulfilled their roles, unquote. And the Supreme Court has allowed Texas to enforce its controversial immigration law. In a 6-3 decision, the Supreme Court ruled that a Texas immigration law, widely considered one of the nation's harshest, can proceed temporarily while appeals continue. The law, signed by Republican Governor Greg Abbott last year, makes it a state crime to cross the border illegally, allowing Texas officials to arrest and deport individuals, which has historically been the sole authority of the federal government. In her dissent, liberal Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote that the decision, quote, upends the federal-state balance of power and, quote, invites further chaos and crisis in immigration enforcement, unquote. Next, we turn our attention to international news, where a new law could undo Hong Kong as a finance hub. Foreign companies in Hong Kong fear it won't be business as usual after the city's legislature passed a controversial security law last week. Hong Kong has historically been the world's financial gateway into China thanks to its common law court system, transparent regulations, and relative political autonomy from Beijing, legacies of its status as a former British colony that was handed over to China in 1997. But now, Hong Kong's global finance mojo is threatened by the law, known as Article 23, which builds on an earlier national security law imposed by China that critics say has been weaponized against dissidents. And these are corporate collywobbles. Executives are particularly uneasy about how Article 23 lays out prosecuting espionage and the mishandling of state secrets. Hong Kong officials insist that the law targets only bad actors who threaten national security, not, quote, normal business operators, unquote. But firms worry that it could cover activities like collecting due diligence intelligence and data about the Chinese economy. The big picture here? The new law could make the business climate in Hong Kong similar to the rest of China and comes as foreign corporations have already slowed their hiring on the island, possibly due to China mainland authorities establishing tighter regulatory control there in recent years. Many businesses have started moving parts of their staff to what they see as safer harbors, like Singapore, while others have closed shop in Hong Kong altogether. Next, we turn our attention to news about work life, where Dell gives employees the return-to-office ultimatum. Dell, the maker of computers for people who have to wear ties to work, is giving its remote workers the cold shoulder. The company, which implemented a return-to-office mandate in February, will no longer consider remote employees eligible for promotion or to change roles as of May, this according to a report from Business Insider. BI found that employees aren't so keen. Insiders told the outlet that teams are geographically spread out, so working in person doesn't necessarily enable them to meet face-to-face with their colleagues. One source at Dell said remote teams are overwhelmingly women, leading to concerns that the policy could have a disproportionate impact on female employees. For one thing, the policy will force remote employees who want to accept a promotion to work in person at an approved office, even if that means moving. And Dell wasn't always like this. The new policy is corporate whiplash akin to if Ben and Jerry suddenly announced that tie-dye was no longer cool. Dell had a hybrid work culture in place long before COVID, and CEO Michael Dell has called out other companies that enforced return-to-office policies. As we zoom out, Dell is making official what's already happening elsewhere. A study by Live Data Technologies showed that fully remote workers were promoted 31% less than those who worked in person last year. Next, we turn our attention to news about the automotive industry, where new auto rules are Biden's biggest climate move yet. You have approximately 3 years left to roast your friend who drives a Prius. The Biden administration rolled out new rules last week that aim to put more butts in electric car seats, marking one of the federal government's strongest moves toward tackling climate change since the introduction of Smokey the Bear. And it's not a ban on gas-powered cars. The Environmental Protection Agency's regulations, which go into effect starting in 2027, increasingly limit pollution permitted from tailpipes, which in turn will push automakers toward making more models that comply with those limits, aka electric vehicles and hybrids. The policy tightens emissions limits more slowly than the EPA's original proposal last year, signaling a concession by the Biden administration to automakers and auto workers, but it's still expected to have serious impacts. Analysts predict the regulations will lead to more EV models at lower prices. EPA boasts the new policy will generate $37 billion in improved public health and prevent 7 billion tons of CO2 emissions. But potential roadblocks lay ahead. The policy will likely be met with legal challenges from fossil fuel lobbyists that could end up before the Supreme Court, whose 6-3 conservative majority has previously voted to limit the EPA's power. Next, we turn our attention to news about privacy, where the Glassdoor may not be so anonymous anymore. It's official. The safest place to gripe about your job is a padlocked diary actively sinking to the bottom of the ocean. Users of Glassdoor, the site that touted anonymous employee reviews of companies, are reporting that their names and job titles are being added to their accounts without their consent. You can still post anonymously and hide your private info, but last July, the site officially integrated with the networking app Fishbowl, which requires users to verify their identity with their full name, title, and the company they work for. Previously, you only had to have an email attached to the account. Now, anyone who tries to log back in has to update that info before they can access the site, and people are freaking out about it on social media. What does this mean for Glassdoor's whole thing? Since it's the only place on the internet where you can anonymously clown on your CEO's management style, users are concerned that even if they choose to keep their personal information private, it could now be more easily subpoenaed or leaked, which employers have tried in the past. Glassdoor said it has successfully objected to and resisted over 100 subpoenas for users' identities. Next, we turn our attention to news about big technology, where the Department of Justice wants to knock Apple down a peg. After finally recovering from a social media barrage of virtual reality goggle mockery, Apple is about to enter a much bigger battle. The Justice Department joined 15 states and Washington, D.C. in suing the tech giant over allegedly monopolistic practices, citing everything from Apple's secretive tap-to-pay chip to its green text bubbles. The 88-page suit is basically a greatest hits collection of every critic's gripes with Apple. Highlights include the App Store is back in the hot seat. The DOJ accused Apple of suppressing cloud streaming apps for video games and said the company's policies have prevented competitors from creating super apps. Other companies, including Epic Games in a very heated lawsuit, have long complained about Apple charging an exorbitant 30% commission on sales through its App Store. And its systems are under lock and key. The lawsuit also alleges that Apple purposefully makes it harder for iPhone users to use products outside its ecosystem. And the Department of Justice pointed out that Apple is dragging its feet on letting Android users send messages with iMessage. Many tech entrepreneurs have tried to create workarounds, but Apple has shut them down. Apple did agree last year to update the quality of multimedia messages between iPhones and Androids. And it's Apple Pay or the highway. The DOJ claims that third-party developers cannot create digital wallets for iPhones, since the company has its own wallet software. Apple denied the allegations. It historically has said its products and services are secretive in order to protect from malware and fraud. So what's next? It will likely be years before we get a verdict on whether or not Apple needs to change any of these practices. In the meantime, the lawsuit means the Department of Justice, which promised to crack down on corporate monopolies, has now completed its punch card of suing every big tech company, Amazon, Google, Meta, and now Apple, on antitrust grounds. With that, we'll close with a headline or two from around the world. Congress unveiled a $1.2 trillion spending bill ahead of its shutdown deadline. Like you did with your senior year thesis, lawmakers turned in their lengthy federal funding package last week just under the wire, though it's unclear if they'll have time to vote on it to prevent parts of the government from shutting down at midnight. The bipartisan bill included, among other things, funding for border security and education programs in an effort to appease both sides of the aisle. Republican leaders signaled that they intend to hold a vote, waiving their self-imposed rule that legislators get 72 hours to review bills before they vote. And with that, our time has come to an end. I'm Rich Gomez, and this is The Morning Brew. Be sure to tune in again next week for another edition of The Morning Brew.